Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to your latest Wolves Fancast match preview. As always, I'm your host, Little Dan. And on tonight's show, I've got with me three unfamiliar faces on the Fancast, but always welcome. Obviously, the main one to the just to the bottom of me from the ever-famous Wolves 77 Club podcast. It's Harry Mansell. How are you going, Harry?
Really good, mate. Thanks for having me on.
All set for the upcoming charity match, Harry?
It's probably the most unfit I've been in the last few. I don't really play five-a-side anymore, so I'm a bit worried about it, but we'll pull through.
Yeah, I've mentioned it there. We've got a charity match coming up at Molineux on the 24th of May up against other Premier League content creators from Arsenal, Liverpool, Aston Villa, unfortunately. There's a few Premier League clubs we'll be coming up against for the health and the mental health charity Mind on the 24th of May. You can find our Just Giving link at www.justgiving.com/page/WolvesFancast CCC24. That's Content Creators Cup. Yeah, so anyone who could help us fundraise for Mind would be massively appreciated. We did $3,500 for them last year, so hopefully we can get into that sort of figure again after our charity game in May. Little Phil's joining me, good friend of mine, all the way from down south, but Compton born and bred, Phil.
Yep, that's, Yeah, that's the one. Yep, mean streets of Compton.
Straight out of Compton, my guy, Little Phil is. And we've got a new American guest joining the Wolves Fancast tonight to the right of me. It's Andy. How you going, Andy?
I'm doing well. I didn't dress up for the podcast, just to be clear. I'm recording this on my lunch break at work here in Boston.
You've come dressed for business, and that's what we're all about at the Fancast on the match preview show. Just tell everyone a little bit about yourself. How did you come to supporting our great football team? Where are you from in America?
So I grew up in New England in the northeast of the U.S., kind of all over. Came to Wolves like most American fans that I hear from, pretty much arbitrarily. A couple of years ago, got bored of baseball, decided to try to get into, you know, soccer, as we call it over here, football. Didn't want to pick one of the big teams, didn't want to pick one of the teams that looked like they were likely to get relegated that season. And the Wolves logo, crest, and kit kind of all spoke to me. And pretty much immediately, based on the club's like social media presence and the charity work that they do in the community and everything, fell in love with the club. And, you know, through you guys here on the Fancast, kind of felt like I became part of the community.
That's great. Us legacy fans, Harry, we don't like hearing words like brand, but our Wolves logo draws in so many fans from across the planet. And
it worked.
It's working. 100%. Jeff Shea's, he's got the master plan at his fingertips. you've made the right decision, Andy. There'll be minutes, hours, and days where you might regret it.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, I missed the good old days of the Nuno era and joined up under Lodge. So I'm still waiting to experience some of the highs. I've been through the lows.
What sort of your favourite Wolves players that you've taken upon since you've followed the club, and what sort of your favourite matches since that start of the Bruno Lage era under your supportership?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, based on the timing, I missed out on some of the legends like Steve Ball and everything. But, you know, definitely Ruben Neves was a big part of drawing me into the club. Adama Traore, as frustrating as he was at times, was always a joy to watch. my wife loves him. I'm not going to look too deeply into that, but
it's not worth it. It's not worth the hesitation. It is love for the number 37. It must be.
Yeah. But yeah, definitely Neves would be number one, I would say.
It's not a bad pick, is it? I mean, I'm sure there'll be many other Wolves fans who've got Ruben Neves top of their favourites list. We've got a few people who've already commented. I'm going to ask you this, Andy. The first person who's commented tonight is Mike Evans with, what is the perfect English full English breakfast, Andy?
I mean, I'm obviously the least qualified to to answer that one on here. For American breakfasts, though, I'm usually a small heap of bacon, some scrambled eggs, and maybe some hash browns or home fries, pancake or two here or there.
Sausages, toast. You're halfway there. I mean, you're pretty much English, yeah, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that different. We just less beans, maybe, on this side of the pond.
The beans. That's a necessity. Is beans part of your full English staple, Harry?
Yeah, definitely. The only thing I don't really have is black pudding. It's the only one I can't get with. But everything else, I mean.
You look like a black pudding type of guy, Phil, but I've never really asked you that question before.
What a question to ask as well. But I'd be definitely black pudding on the full English.
Little Phil loves a bit of black pudding. I'm going to clip that and put that in our WhatsApp group later, Phil. Neil Lewis commenting, evening, guys. Fantastic news about Tommy Doyle. Yes, the latest news that's come out of Molyneux today is that Wolves have activated the loan deal to sign Tommy Doyle for Man City on a permanent deal. Low transfer value fee that was agreed when we signed up to the loan deal. No brainer, Harry.
Yeah, definitely. I saw Gary O'Neill's comments about him saying his best ability is him on the ball, and I agree. I mean, that game recently against Arsenal, he stood out, and it's a bargain, isn't it? It's a no-brainer. And he's done well to get himself into the team in certain spells in the season, hasn't he? And when like Gomez was suspended around January, I thought he had a really good run in the team. And he's such a talent, and I think he'll only get better. And I love him as well. He's like a bit of a fan favourite, isn't he? Like, really good player, and I'm delighted. 4 years, isn't it? 2028? So it'll be a long time.
I think the only sort of sour point was the 50% sell-on clause that's in the fee. But the amount that we've paid for him, it was probably a bit of financial wrangling, wasn't it, with the Matheus Nunes going the other way at the time. But like I said, no-brainer for me. Matt Hobbs commented saying, we've never seen Tommy as a player on loan, and he hasn't acted like one. If you look at the type of players we like to sign as a football club, they generally haven't reached their ceiling yet and have loads more to come. Tommy is a fraction of the player he will become. The more he gets used to the league and the greater his understanding gets, I'm really excited for now, but also his future at Wolves. No brainer for you as well, Phil?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, his best football should be ahead of him. You know, fits really well. You know, seems like he fits really well at the club. And like highlighted, he's a type of midfielder we don't have or didn't have. So yeah, bring something different to the midfield and to the team. So definitely no brainer. I think I read somewhere the buyback clause or the sell-on clause, it's only valid for a few years or something, isn't it? I think maybe. I don't know if it's for the full length of whenever we've signed.
There's
it.
A lot of
sure.
Wranglers,
there's a lot of like probably small print, isn't there?
Yeah. We've still got the sort of the situation with Roy and Ait Nouri, haven't we? Whether there's a sell-on clause, whether we've paid that sell-on clause out already. Do you know anything about that, Harry?
No, but just I think what Phil was on about is Man City have got, is it two summer windows for the option to buy him back? And if they do buy him back, the 50% obviously is wiped. So if all of a sudden he was unreal for us and they were like, oh my God, we want him back, they give us, I don't know, 40 million, just pulling a number out of the air. Yeah, they get first dibs on him. So that's interesting. They've kept that in there because they might regret it. You never know.
There might be in the Championship League One. They might have to try and buy him back when those charges come against them. Who knows what's happening with that? I was on a Manchester City podcast earlier on today, obviously talking about the game tomorrow, and the Man City channel was 93-20, which was based on the Sergio Aguero winning goal. But in my mind, it was 93 guilty charges, 20 not guilty. I never managed to crowbar that into the interview at some point. I'm a bit disappointed on that. Let's talk about the team news that came out from Gary O'Neill's press conference today. Gary O'Neill has put out the nugget today that Pedro Neto, Jean-Rick Nabelgaard and Santiago Breno are all available for tomorrow's game away at Man City. I've had my own opinions of Gary O'Neill's press conferences and whether how honest he can be in them. Pedro Neto, if he's available tomorrow, Harry, he's come out of nowhere. And how big a positive is having Pedro Neto back in our squad?
Oh, it's massive. And we don't really get to see Juan Cunha and Neto play together, do I think it's only happened once back in October. So that would be amazing. And it'd be nice to have something going forward, wouldn't it? But I can't see him starting. I'd be surprised if he does make the squad, to be honest. Like, he's just come back, hasn't he? If he does make the bench, then fair enough, we'll probably see him for 10, 15 minutes at the end. But it's good that we've got Huang and Cunha, though. But how good would it be to see those three up there just for the last few games, have them all together? Because we've missed it so much, haven't we, in this run of them all being injured. And he won't be 100%, as we know. He's took Huang a bit to get back into it, hasn't it? And Cunha as well, to be fair, since they've returned from injury. So, but yeah, Neto, class, isn't he? It'd be amazing if he started, but we'll see.
Danny P in the comment section, it ain't happening, but can you imagine if Neto played and hands Arsenal the league, price immediately goes up to £120 million. It's theoretical, it could easily happen. He's massive. A little sort of light bulb went off in my head a moment ago when you mentioned that front three, Harry, the fact that, do you know, when Sakho, Afobe and Dicko were literally at their peak, it feels similar to that even though we're not probably great defensively, if those front three are on fire, they'll cause a lot of defensive trouble, including this Manchester City defence tomorrow. Andy, I want to bring up the West Brom Wolves game in the FA Cup. I'm not sure if you managed to get up in time because it was a really early kickoff for this, but Pedro Neto put his head that day. How much do you enjoy watching him in a Wolves shirt?
Oh, he's the type of player that you don't expect to see at a club where Wolves are in the table. I mean, he's a top of the table type of player, and to have him at a little old club like ours for the time being it's such a joy to be able to watch him in a Wolves shirt.
Massive. He's one of my favorite players. What Andy sort of touched on there, if he hadn't have had his injury problems, he wouldn't be here now, would he? That first season, I think it might have been his second season when the end of the pandemic started to kick off, and he scored that wonder goal away at Southampton. His goals towards the end of that season pretty much kept us up, didn't they? He's huge for us. He may go in the summer, but I'm just imploring the club. They've got to get as much money as they can. I've said it on numerous episodes, and people look at me funny, but Jadon Sancho, Antony, Mudryk, all cost north of £80 million. And Pedro Neto might be injured for 25% of the season. He's still doing more numbers than them three. Got to get good money for Pedro now if you're going to leave him, because he's that key to us. We've got to build our team around Mateus Cunha, João Gomes and Ryan Aitnori. It wouldn't surprise me if two out of those three go in the summer, but if Fosun have any ambitions to progress us again, that they've got to build that team. They've got to give Gary O'Neill and Matt Hobbs the tools to do a good job. The disappointing thing that came out from today's press conference is that Pep Guardiola revealed that Manchester City are full strength. They've zero injuries, zero fatigue. They've got no Champions League to contend with. They haven't had a midweek game. It's going to be tough tomorrow, but no team has done the double over Manchester City this season. There's always a bit of a stupid stat that happens to title winners come the end of the season. You go back to that Wolves promotion season. We didn't get a win over Sunderland. We drew and we lost to bottom of the league, Sunderland, who were atrocious. Funny things happen in football. I keep mentioning the odds earlier that Wolves was 22-1. I'm just going to quickly look a second what we are currently. Because I know when I looked earlier, it was 22-1. I mean, he's still showing 22-1 there, but maybe when I refresh it in a few minutes, it'll be 18s. But even still, 18-1, Harry, you said off air, £2 worth a bet on that.
Do you know what's mad? That was the exact odds I got when we beat them 2-0 away when Traore got the double. I remember I had a 5 on it that day and it was 18-1. I remember that. But stranger things have happened, haven't they? Like we've just mentioned, we've got a few players back. I know they're fully fit, and I honestly think City will win every game left. But you never know. I know we're shaky at the back, but if we can have a heroic performance at the back, and, you know, Cunha, Wang, even Neto, if he gets on, if they can do something magic for us and just spoil the party, I'd love it. I'd absolutely love it if we mess it up for them. But yeah, because it's a bit boring, although I'm not really much of a fan of Arsenal and Liverpool, it is a bit boring to see City keep winning the Premier League. So if we can throw a spanner in the works, that would be really good. Because that's all we've got left, really, isn't it? I know we've got Liverpool last game, but they're pretty much out of it now, I'd say. But you never know. That's the main message. You never know.
I was thinking about this on my drive home from work today. If you can imagine the amount of times VAR has gone against us this season, but VAR goes for us and scuppers Man City the title. Just bonkers scenes. Amazing. Andy, from across the sort of pond, who is your preference to win the title out of Man City, Arsenal? I'll put Liverpool in just for the bants.
This is an advertisement from BetterHelp Therapy Online. We all carry different stresses, big and small. It could be from work, stuff going on at home, or just from supporting a football team you flatter to deceive. And as the bed sheets have always said, let us down. We often bottle up these stresses and try and keep a lid on them. But when you do that, it can start to affect you negatively. That's where therapy comes in. It gives you a place to get these things off your chest, get down to root cause and figure out how to work through what's weighing you down. Therapy is there to help develop positive coping skills. It's not just for people who have experienced major trauma. It's about empowering you to be the best version of yourself. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, why not look and give BetterHelp a try? It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible and suited to your schedule. And with over 1,000 therapists in the UK already, BetterHelp can provide access to mental health professionals with a wide variety of expertise in mental health. Our listeners can get 10% off their first month using the code betterhelp.com/wanderers. That's betterhelp.com/wanderers. Let's get back to the show.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm with Harry on this, where like I don't necessarily support any of those teams, but it does get a little bit boring to watch City win it. I don't know. At the same time, like there is a part of me, like a neutral part of me, that just enjoys watching the best coach in the world and the best players in the world be the best team in the world. But yeah, I definitely prefer to see somebody else lift that trophy come the end of the year. But at the same time, you know, do we really want Klopp to get his fairy tale ending? I don't really want to see that either. So I guess if I had to pick one of the three, I'd probably go with Arsenal. But even that feels icky. I don't know.
really does, Andy. The Man City podcast that I mentioned earlier, I went above and beyond with my disdain for Arsenal. I'm still really sore about that Bruno Lage season that you mentioned, Andy. We were in the running for Champions League until the February period.
Yep. We
lost to Arsenal blocks. Twice in a month. We lost to West Ham away. And neither game that we lost to Arsenal, we deserved to lose. Lacazette scored an absolute fluke deflection off Jose Sard on goal in the dying embers of the game at the Emirates. Wolves was winning 1-0. Ben White does an absolute blatant dive, which would have left Wolves 2-1-1. And the referee gives a foul. I'm still really sore about that. I'm with you. For the good of English football, it wouldn't be good for Man City to win 4 on the back. Four on the trot. But I really don't want Arsenal to win it. I think like Man City are the best of all evils here. And I'm really looking forward to going to Anfield again on the last game of the season to be really smug and sarcastic for Jurgen Klopp's farewell tour.
Wolves
fans,
too.
I'm sure, will be taking some very good piss taking out of Liverpool and Jurgen Klopp on the day. We enjoyed it a few years ago when Man City won the title at Bryan. I think we did it again another year when they beat Villa at home. It's time to stick it. Liverpool are a massive club. They've got a trophy cabinet more than we can ever dream of. But these are our times to take the piss, and I'm sure Wolves fans will. Where's your preference for the title, Phil?
As you sort of all say, it's sort of I prefer none of them to win it, really. But perhaps if I was leaning somewhere, it might be Arsenal, thinking that, you know, they've got a few more English players who would be going to the Euros. Maybe they'll be on a bit of a high, perhaps lead us into the Euros. You know, that would maybe be the only thing. But I'm scratching for reasons as to who I may want to win. But definitely not Liverpool. I'll probably just side with Arsenal.
It would have been sore going to Anfield, seeing Jurgen Klopp lift the trophy on the last game of the season, but you know, you got to take your hat off to him. If he finishes the season with one Carabao Cup, he's done an amazing job at Liverpool, and I'm sure the fans will remember that legacy for years to come. Let's talk about City Wolves again, because last time we played Man City, we won 2-1 at Molineux, thanks to the Korean guy, Hee Chan Wang, banging the win after Man City had pulled it back to 1-0 for a Julian Alvarez free kick. Pedro Neto absolutely rinsed Nathan Ake, and I think it may have been like Phil Foden on our right on the day before cutting in, and I think it was Ruben Dias who defected in to put us 1-0 up. Tough game on the day, but massive miss for Wolves tomorrow, Harry. Now Craig Dawson again, who's undertaken groin surgery, did an absolute number on Erling Haaland last time.
Oh yeah, that was an unreal performance, wasn't it, from Dawson that day. And that game, it was pivotal in our season, wasn't it? Because just before that, we'd had that terrible time against Ipswich and Luton, and everyone was calling for Gary. Well, some fans wanted Gary O'Neill to leave going into that Man City game. So the fact we got that win, I think it was huge that day. They didn't have Rodri today in midfield. He's so good for them. And him not being there made a massive difference. It gave us the chance to win. And I think we won 2-1 with one shot on target, didn't we, from memory? Because the first one was an own goal. And then obviously Huang took his. But that's the sort of game we need it to be if we're going to get anything tomorrow. So that was a great... That's probably, for me, probably the best game this season at Molineux. It was amazing, that was. I just couldn't see it coming after the way we'd been performing. And just to top it off, yeah, the Korean guy, that was brilliant, wasn't it? When all the TikToks and that started coming out after the game, with that was brilliant. And I hope the Korean guy can get us all 3 points again. That'd be brilliant.
Be massive. That one particular Wolves channel that posted that gonometer after the Luton and Ipswich games should really take a long, hard look at themselves. Really, really poor. Very
remember that.
Very poor taste. I'll have to try and remember what channel that was. It was really poor form. In hindsight, looking back now, that Luton defeat in the Carabao Cup probably wasn't as bad as it looked at the time. With Ipswich getting close to promotion tomorrow, and Luton haven't done bad at home this season. They've picked up some good points against some decent teams, so picking up 1 point at Kenilworth Road with 10 men was a good point of the day. Matheus Nunes, Phil, got an absolute mouthful and more when he returned to Molineux last summer. Don't think he'll play again tomorrow, but a player that we could be stung by if he properly turns it on.
Yeah, I think as you say, we probably won't see him tomorrow. Whether he comes on or not, I don't know. But I mean, it's one of them. You could say Nunes could possibly sting us. I think you could say that about most of Man City's starting 11.
All the other players, Phil. That's what I'm talking about, Matheus. The more we talk about Kevin De Bruyne and Phil Foden and Erling Haaland, the more we're going to realise 22-1 ain't probably that bad or not.
But if he does come on, I'm sure he'll get the same amount of stick, and it might even feel even louder being at the Etihad, because it's not particularly sort of buoyant atmospheres then for these type of games. So if he does come on, I'm sure he'll get the same amount of stick, if not more, maybe.
I've just mentioned some serious players from Man City there, Andy. Who's the sort of Man City player that's giving you the most fear going into the game tomorrow?
I mean, it's got to be De Bruyne, right? I mean, he's probably the best midfielder in England in the Premier League. That's the thing with City, is that, like you mentioned, Dawson kind of shut down Haaland last time. It reminds me of the old, like, 1990s Chicago Bulls with Michael Jordan. If you could shut Michael Jordan down for a game, you're still going to get beat by Scottie Pippen and all that. And there's so many different weapons. If you focus on one, you might be able to slow him down like we did with Haaland, but that's probably not going to be enough to just take one threat out of the game. They've got so many.
He is a big miss, Dawson.
David
though.
Hopper.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be huge. I think the whole defensive unit are so much more assured when he's in that back line. David Hopper's commented, got up to 25-1 on Sky Bet. if you want to put money on Wolves to win tomorrow, that's your money. I never bet on Wolves to win. I don't like... mentally, I feel like I'm jinxing Wolves when I bet on them, even to draw or win in a game like this. It's going to be tough tomorrow. Let's have a look at the other weekend's fixtures. We've got Luton Everton, which I believe has already kicked off. That's on Sky Sports right now. Arsenal versus Bournemouth is the 12:30 kickoff tomorrow on TNT. The 3 o'clocks are Brentford at home to Fulham, Burnley at home to Newcastle. Big one at the bottom, Sheffield United at home to Nottingham Forest. And as I mentioned, Manchester City versus Wolves at 5:30. Looking at those Saturday fixtures, Harry, who's your banker for a win on Saturday?
I'll go with... I want to say City, but let's not do that because we're on a Wolves podcast. No, I'll go with... I think Newcastle will beat Burnley. I'll go with that one. I think that's a banker.
Yeah, Burnley need the points. Probably one of their... I think they've got two home games left in the running, Burnley. One of them is Newcastle. I think the other one is... They got Nottingham Forest last game of the season. I think they've got Forest at home. So these two home games for Burnley are massive. They're only 2 points behind Forest. Luton are playing tonight at home to Everton. Massive in the relegation battle. Phil, where's your money at? I mean, you're sort of looking at Arsenal and Man City, aren't you, if you were a proper betting man. But looking at the other fixtures from the weekend, just bringing the Sunday fixtures as well. Chelsea at home to West Ham. Villa go away to Brighton, and then the 4:30 kickoff on Sunday is Liverpool Tottenham, and the week concludes with Crystal Palace at home to Manchester United.
I'd probably dare say Palace are a decent bet, I think, at home. You know, they've got Eze and Elise back. United are struggling. Yeah, they've always seemed to struggle. They can cheat, concede chances for fun, and they might not have Fernandes. So I think Palace could be a decent bet this weekend. It's just you do have to wait until Monday, unfortunately. But yeah, I think Palace would be the one.
I don't want to compare them to Dicko or Fabisaco, but Palace literally are, when they've got Elise, Eze and Mateta playing at the moment, they are a force going forward, Crystal Palace. Still don't think they're a great club in general. And I've told the Crystal Palace fan on another YouTube channel I'm on, Crystal Palace are the oldest football club in history. I only found out this the other day because I thought it was Notts County. Crystal Palace are the oldest football club in history. And all they've got to show for themselves is one Zenith Data trophy. They're a joke football club, Crystal Palace. And I'm still stung by that 96 playoff defeat, or 95, whenever it was, when David Hopkins scored. Yeah, we're going away to Man City tomorrow, 5:30 kickoff. David Hopper mentioned we're 25-1. I did mention after the win against Luton, if we can get a win tomorrow, those European places become a bit of a possibility again. Might be a bit outrageous, but at the start of the season, if someone would have said to me, you'll be in and around the top half, you'll get to the FA Cup quarter final, and you'll batter Albion away in an FA Cup third round, Andy, you'd have bit your hands off for that.
Oh, absolutely. I think I had Wolves 15th or 16th in my preseason predictions. So to never even be thinking about a relegation battle is a huge win.
Definitely. Same with you, Phil. Happy with the likely outcome of a mid-table finish quarterfinal FA Cup?
Yeah, I think more than happy. And I think, you know, I think we can see that, you know, when the players have been available, we've certainly been far more attacking, which was one of the things that we've just missed for a good couple few years now, creating more chances. Maybe dipped a little over the last month or so with the injuries and the sort of squad depth, but certainly more than happy if we could get 10th officially. Top half the table, they're great. But yeah, if we finish 11th, I think that's still a very, very satisfactory season.
Any sour taste on the season for you, Harry, with the lack of recruitment in January?
Yeah, ironically, I did actually predict us to finish 11th where we're sat now. But and at the beginning of the season, like you said, if you'd have said what's happened, I'd have been like, oh, that's amazing. But looking at it, I am slightly annoyed that we didn't get in that striker. That was the big one, wasn't it, that Gary O'Neill said he was told they'd get one in. We didn't. We have been really unlucky with injuries, but with the way we play, it's expected. And the Coventry game is really disappointing, but as we know, riddled of injuries. And it's one of those seasons, again, like when we was under Bruno Lage a few years ago, what could have been if we'd had that little bit of backing in January, a little bit more luck with injuries, what could have been? We could have been in Europe again. I really want to get back because I don't know about you, Dan. I really, really enjoyed going to the European games away.
Harry,
it was like a dream
come
true.
Get me in Lithuania, Albania on the first night.
Yeah, exactly. West Ham winning it last year, and like Villa having the run in it, that Mickey Mouse one, I'd call it. But I'd take it all day. It's just, is so good. And God, you'd never think Wolves would be in it. So the fact that we're even, you know, potentially pushing for it season on season, if Jeff decides to back us a bit more, he'd be great. But it's so weird, isn't it? It's catch 22. You're like, you have to catch yourself sometimes, because there's some fans like, be grateful. You know, we were tipped for relegation this year, which is true. But where we found ourselves in January, it's that little bit of back in. It's frustrating, but as I said, you've got to be happy with how the season's gone, despite a few disappointing moments.
Yeah, Gary O'Neill would have been definitely a front runner for manager of the year if we managed to get to the FA Cup semi-final, or, you know, snake an out of place. But I'm glad you just mentioned Aston Villa in the Intertoto Cup, Harry, because how about that little Daniel Podence last night? What a player. What a player. How we've missed a player like that this season at times, especially in that injury-ravaged January to March period. Aston Villa ran out, losing 4-2 last night. They've still got a second leg. Douglas Luiz managed to conclude the game last night with a missed penalty, which I massively enjoyed. Daniel Parnes not likely to come back in the summer, Phil. Olympiacos are trying to push for a transfer deal, but you know my opinions on him. He pretty much reminds me of myself. He's an absolute little shit, but he's got ability. He's always forward thinking. He likes to create. Would you take him back in the summer?
Don't know. I mean, it certainly seems like he's not going to be coming back, but you never know. Stranger things have happened. You know, Gary O'Neill, I don't think, got to spend any time with him. I think he was already on loan by the time O'Neill was appointed, wasn't he? I think. So you never know. He does have that attacking instinct, and, you know, he was a goal scorer as well. Would pop up with a few important goals, which you can't put a price on. But for whatever reason, he just didn't seem to fit, or we couldn't get a system that brought the best out of him. So in all likelihood, we're not going to see him again, but stranger things have happened. You never know.
Yeah, I did see a few comments today saying we don't need that sulky little midget back. We don't need that stroppy Podence back. For me, he's always forward-thinking. He's got an eye for an assist. I think the two assists that he created last night were exceptional. He nearly did an assist in the first opening minutes with an outside of the boot cross, which was given offside, which was actually onside if he had gone to VAR. I think he's a talent. I think Olympiacos, similar to sort of other players that we've got out online, if clubs want these players, they need to pay the right amount of money for them. We need to talk about Fabio Silva, don't we? Because that's another transfer loan that's seems to be getting worse by the week, Andy. Struggling for form away at Rangers now. Where do you see Fabio Silva's summer going after this? Do we need to take a hit and just get him off the wage bill at all costs, or do we need to persevere with maybe another loan out?
I don't think it's quite a get rid of him at all costs type of situation. I think it's if somebody wants him and they're willing to, you know, if we can recoup some of the costs, I think that that's probably worth going for. I mean, he's shown that the top of the game just isn't quite his level. He'd probably do great in like the championship or something, but I don't know that he's ever going to be the player that we need him to be, the player that we thought he might be. But I don't think it's still too early to completely give up and try to, you know, pay somebody to take him from us, basically.
Any disagreement with that, Phil?
Not particularly, no. I mean, it's one of those things I'm starting to feel for the guy now, and you've seen the last sort of clips of him from Rangers. You know, he's just not on it seemingly at all. Maybe it's something we could do similar to how we signed Doyle. You sell him on the cheap, but there's a decent sell-on percentage clause should he regain some form and turn into some sort of 40 million player that we bought him for. But I'm not sure it's in there. But yeah, I don't think he's got a future at the club.
It's like, I agree with you to a little degree. I do feel sorry for him, because massive transfer fee and a lot of weight on his shoulders. But I feel like he's he's eating the pudding that he's deserved now. If he would have went to Celtic online, he would have had none of these problems because they would have made him the player that he's supposed to be. He chose the weaker side, and that's what happens when you choose Rangers over Celtic.
Honestly, and, until that clip that came out, what was that, last week, where he like flopped to try to draw a penalty with no one around him, like until that moment, I still had a little bit of hope for him. And I saw that video, I'm just like, you know what, forget about this at this point.
There's just no logic, was there, what he was, you know, a number nine centre forward, shouldn't even be having nightmares of not putting that ball in the net, never mind diving to win a penalty when you're just outside the 6-yard box. Massively frustrating. Probably the thing I'm going to hold against Jeff Shea the most in his tenureship as chairman, because that was the sort of the transfer that he hung his hat on, really, and probably the straw that brought the camel's back with a lot of trust with some fans, because obviously Jorge Mendes made and broke this club to a degree in regards to transfers. Neves, Bolly and Jota never played for Wolves in the Championship without Jorge Mendes, but giving Jorge Mendes the keys to the Palace to bring in these sort of players for the transfer fees that we paid for him, it's massively gone wrong. And, you know, Scott Sellers took a bullet for Jeff Shea in my eyes, but that's for another time and place. Let's go back to the City Wolves game, because we've got predicted lineups from the 93-20 Man City channel and ourselves. Their channel have predicted Edison in goal, Kyle Walker, Akanji, Nathan Ake and Gvardiol at the back. A midfield five of Rodri, Bernardo Silva, Phil Foden, Kevin De Bruyne, Jack Grealish and the Norwegian midfield, Erling Haaland, leading the line for City. Any sort of players there that you think we can try and exploit? For me, you look straight to the fullbacks, don't you, when you've got players like Pedro, Neto and Cunha, but probably two of the most informed fullbacks in the world, Harry.
Exactly, yeah, just looking at that. And looking at Grealish there, he's going to score, isn't he? He's going to score. You know what he's like. It's just mission impossible, isn't it? I mean, there's a reason why we're 25-1. And I'm looking at our team, Pablo Sarabia. I don't know what you guys think of him, but he's frustrated the life out of me recently. I know everyone goes, yeah, but think of Spurs. Think of that goal. And ironically, I did actually vote for that for goal of the season. But he is not for me, Sarabia. Great on the ball. Great technically, but he's weak. He's slow. He ain't got that much fight for me. So hopefully Neto's fit and he starts instead of Sarabia. But yeah, I can't see Sarabia doing much against that back four. But hopefully he surprises me, because he has had his moments, as mentioned. But as you say, their fullbacks, just looking at every single one of their players, is just incredible. And there's a reason why. That's why they're going to win the league.
Quickly, Harry, I want to thank you for following me on Twitter, because if you'd followed me before, you'd have also realised that I think Pablo Sarabia's wank also.
Yeah, I think we're not the only ones, let's be honest.
Like you said, tidy footballer, really good on the ball, but for me, he's NFL special teams, he's a set-piece merchant, that's all he is for me. I saw Daniel Podence get stuck in more times last night than Pablo Sarabia's done all season.
That's what I was just going to say. He's Podence without the balls, is what he is.
He's right. And, you know, for the top earner at Wolves, I need more from him, Harry, like you've said. It's all right, you know, being a Spanish international, but...
When he come on against Luton, he just completely wrecked our momentum. When he come on against Luton, I thought we were going to go on and get three or four. He comes on as sub, and it's just... So it's so... Like, we're so much better with just Hwang and Cunha, aren't we? But you have Sarabia up there with just Hwang, or Sarabia up there with just Cunha. I don't know. He slows us down. We like to play on the counter, don't we? And we're going to be doing a lot of counter-attacking against Man City. Our only chance is really going to come from that, is, you know, hitting them quick. And he's just not the player you want on the pitch when we're trying to hit him with pace on the break, like we did away at Spurs, like we did away at Chelsea. That's the sort of performance we need to put in. And having him in there, in my opinion, it just doesn't suit us with him in the team.
Still with the comment, give me Pablo over Pod all day. Still with that, you need to stop drinking with Stu. That guy will get you into trouble with that's what happens. That's, you end up with a mindset like that, because Pablo Sarabia, he's just a set-piece merchant. It just shows how slow the Portuguese league is, because he was looking like an absolute world beater for Sporting before we signed him. But these players, they come to England and the intensity and the physicality is too much for these fancy damn players. Daniel Podence is similar. He'll go through games where he gets out-muscled. but he's a little shit. He's like a he's a Yorkshire Terrier, isn't he? He won't stop yapping at your ankles. He'll win your fouls a lot of the time. He might go down petulantly and dive about, but you lot, and I'm talking about everyone who's watching here tonight, you lot will not be able to relate. When you're a 5 foot guy and you're being whacked by a guy in the face who's 2-3 stones heavier, it hurts.
He scored us some big goals under Lopetegui, didn't he, Pedence, when you think back in the survival run? Away at Forest, I'm trying to think of a few others, but he scored some big goals. Everton away on his first game, Lopetegui, around Christmas time. I liked Pedence. He frustrated the life out of me, don't get me wrong. I don't love him as much as you do, Dan, but yeah, I'd love to see him back, actually, especially after watching that game against Villa. But yeah, I get what you mean. I would personally take Pedence over Sarabia. I would.
He scored a big goal at Villa away last season. Daniel Pedence yes. scored some big goals at home to Leicester. I think he pretty much he put the one pass in for the Villa away game when we won 3-2, coming back from 2-0 down. He picked an absolutely lovely pass out for, I can't remember who put the ball across for Sace. But yeah, he's a player that I would have in our squad. Whether we can convince him to come back is another story, because he does polarise the fan base, doesn't he? He is Marmite to a lot of Wolves fans. He's adored in Greece. I think he's just had a child over there. So like I said, I don't think he'll come back in the summer, but we've got to get good money for him because he is a talented player.
Yeah. His attitude a bit, I think. Like he was on Instagram and that. He was a bit like outspoken, wasn't he? And I don't think fans that like that. He fell out with Lopetegui as well, didn't he, I think, towards the end. But like I think Phil said, I can't remember
it.
I remember when Gary O'Neill come in, I thought he might give him a chance. I can't remember like if he actually gone or Gary O'Neill, he was still there when Gary O'Neill come in. But I actually I predicted Pedence to be our dark horse for the season, and literally the day later he left. He left on loan, so that was a bad pick.
It would have been massively interesting what Gary O'Neill could have got out of him in this front three, based on how sort of void of attacking sense we had been under sort of Nuno, Lage and Lopetegui. We were very pragmatic, weren't we, under Lopetegui, whereas Gary, he's got Ryan Aitnori playing this massive hybrid inverted fullback role, which he builds up play from deep. Mateus Cunha is able to create stuff out of nothing on his own. And Hwang, as frustrating as he is, he's always willing to make runs, whether they come off a different story. And Poland is that sort of player for me that can pick out those passes. Still with us, commented spitting little cheat. That was found not guilty. Daniel Poland is he's just a troubled little man, and I'll stick by him until the end of my fan cast days. Looking at that Wolf side on the right, Phil, I've gone for the usual sort of 5-2-3-3-4-3, if you want to look at it. Gary O'Neill did say Santiago Breno would be available. Does he come in for you instead of Doherty tomorrow?
Yeah, probably, I think.
Any other changes you'd make to that lineup there?
I was just wondering whether we might maybe have five in the middle, perhaps whether Traore comes in instead of Sarabia. I know, you know, Gary O'Neill specifically said that he likes Traore for certain games, but yeah, you know, that would perhaps be one of my a little bit of thinking, or probably a bit more left field would be, you know, you bring if Bueno's fit, I can't remember, left back, and you push Aitnori further forward. Essentially, you're moving Sarabia out the side because you know you've got to counter attack, and you're going to need pace in that front three. And that's where, you know, when we've perhaps done well against sort of the bigger teams, should we say, the top teams, we've had Neto because he's such an outlet, you know, and it's the one thing that scares those defenses is pace. Maybe it's five in the mid, just Hwang and Cunha up top. I'm not sure.
Might be another sort of situation where we need to stink out the game as long as possible. Then if you have got sort of Pedro Neto and possibly Jean-Ric Nabelgaard coming off the bench, you know, 70 minutes onwards, if we manage to keep it 0-0 for that time period, and then, you know, Man City have got to win, and Pep will be looking to try and get their goal difference close to Arsenal's tomorrow, because they've got two tough away games coming up, followed by the last home game of the season against West Ham. So I think Pep will be fully going for it tomorrow, and it's going to be difficult. Looking at that team there on the right, Andy, little Phil suggested Boubacar Traoré in for Pablo Sarabia. Any other suggestions from you?
No, I mean, I think you probably got it spot on. There's not we don't have a whole lot of options right now with all the injuries and everything. Obviously, if Neto is fit, I would like to see him over Sarabia for the reasons everyone has said. He's got that pace. You know, Man City's back line, it's a lot of center backs. We might be able to get by them out wide with pace. But yeah, other than that, that's the only change that I might make. And that obviously depends on fitness.
We're all Sean Derry's Barmy Army tomorrow, aren't we? With Gary O'Neill being suspended from the touchline. Yeah, it's going to be a tough game tomorrow. I mean, you look at that side there for City. I think Rodgers is one of the most underrated footballers in the world for me. I think he was, because of Erling Haaland having a ridiculous goal-scoring season last season, he would be my Ballon d'Or winner for me. But Rodri, he's won City, dragged them to victories in so many games, scored the winner against Inter Milan in the Champions League final. Phil Foden's been given the PFA Player of the Year this week. Another tell. I think Pep Guardiola came out yesterday saying Phil Foden is the one player that Manchester City will never sell, even for £500 million. He's the future of Manchester City. A starter for you for England in the upcoming tournament, Harry, Phil Foden?
Oh yeah, he's got to, hasn't he? But with Southgate scares me a bit. He's the sort of person he wouldn't. But yeah, he's one of our best players, isn't he? Him, Bellingham. I mean, obviously Kane up front. But Foden is just unbelievable. Like, yeah, got to be. It'd be absolutely insane if he is not on that starting lineup in the first game of the Euros.
Yeah, you talk about Gareth Southgate and the doubts that he brings to the nation with his tactical nous. Didn't even mention Cole Palmer there, and it's still not even a guarantee that he's going to get in the squad with the numbers that he's done this season.
20 goals, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think they've just
upped the squad limit, haven't they? So I think Palmer will get in. I think they've gone from 23 to 26 or
26,
something.
Yeah, I saw that earlier today.
So there'll probably be a few players he'll take, but whether he actually uses them, who knows?
We've done a thing previously on Fancast preview shows where we do a Scotty Bet builder. So I'm going to come to each of one of the guys and ask them to pick a player to have a shot on target, pick a player to get booked, or we'll let you decide. You can just, guys, you can have whatever you like, and then we'll see what odds we can get at the end. You can see on the screen there, Wolves are currently 25-1 to win the game. Manchester City 1-14 with the draw at 10-1. Erling Haaland to score in 90 minutes 1-2. It's, yeah, Sky better heavily going against us. It's going to be interesting. Harry, I'll come to you first. Player to have a shot on target or to be booked.
I'm going to go with a Wolves player, obviously. So the odds might be a bit high. I'm going to go with a realistic one. I'll go with Cunha to have a shot on target.
So I'll run through the odds. You can have He-Chan Wang and Mateus Cunha at 9-2 to have a shot on target. This can't be right. This can't be right. Oh, sorry. This is scoring 90 minutes. I thought Pablo Sarabia was 10-1 to have a shot on target there. I was like, right, we're lumping on this. I don't care how much we've slated in the last 5 minutes. We're lumping on Pablo Sarabia. Away player to have a shot on target. Mateus Cunha, 8-11. Who did you say, Harry? Sorry.
Yeah, Cunha. Shot on target. Do you want me to pick a book in as well?
Go on. Just the one. Yeah, just have a player to be booked either side.
I'll go with us again. I'm going to go with a bit of a... It's probably a bit of a risky one. So I can't remember him being booked much. I'm going to go with Toti Gomez.
Toti Gomez to be booked is 7-2. Andy, shot on target and a yellow card?
I'll start with the yellow card. I've been thinking Nelson Semedo the whole time for the booking. I think with Grealish running at him, there's a good chance he'll have to stop a counterattack at some point.
Thankfully, he's passed the yellow card suspension threshold. Now you can get Nelson Semedo to be booked at 4-1, which I think is very good value. A player to have a shot on target for either side?
Shot on target. Let's go with a Man City player. And I'm actually going to go with Rodri here. but you're probably getting some pretty good odds on it. And they're going to be playing the entire game in our third, basically.
4-5 for Rodri to have a shot on target. 4-5.
His odds are not quite as juicy as I thought they might be.
So based on what we've got so far, before Little Phil gives me his predictions, you can get Matheus Cunha one shot on target, Toti Gomez to be booked, Nelson Semedo to be booked, and Rodri to have one shot on target. And that is currently 60-1. Nice odds. Phil, your suggestions?
I'll probably cards first. I was thinking probably Gomez for us, but I was wondering maybe Saar booking for, bit of time wasting.
That's a good shout, yeah.
I like
13
that.
13-2, our Portuguese goalkeeper is to be booked, and that's instantly taking those odds to 325-1. Guys, when we complete this bet builder and we're suggesting people to put £1 on, it's going to be a guaranteed banker. Phil, your shot on target?
I don't know whether they do it. I'd fancy KDB to have a shot on target, but even if you might be able to have it from outside the area, I don't know. But I'd fancy him to have a shot on target at some point.
I'd put my life on that, I think.
Shot on target from outside.
That was my first thought, but I was like, I'm going to go for something that probably got a little bit better odds.
It'll be there somewhere, but you might just have to go with shot on target standard.
Yeah, so home player, shot on target. Kevin De Bruyne is odds of...
Oh, it's lower than
4-9. So that's taking it to 475-1. I'm going to put Wolves into win now. Well, what would that come to? That comes to 1,000-1. I'm not going.
That's limited as well. That'd be limited.
I've said I never bet on Wolves to win or draw in a game like this. Let's see what we can sort of get. I'm going to go with over. God, look at that. Over 1.5 goals. It's just 1-20. It's ridiculous, is it? Let's keep it simple. Let's go with an away player, Wolves player, to commit one foul.
Any defender's going to be low odds, aren't they, I think?
I'm going to go with Hwang just to commit one foul in maybe a transition.
I was thinking Hwang.
And then a Wolves player to have a shot on target. Let's go with... I mean, I've slated him for... Have we already had Pablo Sarabia? No?
No.
I'll go with Pablo Sarabia, one shot on target, and now that takes us to 1,000-1. If that's not worth a pound of your money, guys, I don't know what it is. Let's run it through quickly again. Matheus Cunha, one shot on target. Toti Gomez to be booked. Nelson Semedo to be booked. Rodri, one shot on target. Jose Sarr to be booked. Kevin De Bruyne, one shot on target. Hee-Chan Hwang, one foul. And Pablo Sarabia, one shot on target. 1,000-1. Guys, it's worth a pound. It's worth a pound. If you win on that bet, we implore you to send some of that winnings to our Just Giving page, www.justgiving.com/page/WolvesFancastCCC24 for our upcoming charity football match on behalf of Mental Health Charity. Mind, come to the bit I dislike the most, score prediction round. It's going to be a tough one. Don't enjoy doing this one bit. Probably we'll try and be optimistic, but I won't begrudge you if you're not. Andy, your score prediction, Man City versus Wolves.
About as optimistic as I can be realistically is a close Wolves loss. I'm going to say 3-1 to City, but it's 2-1 for a while, and we kind of chase the game, and City gets that third goal late to put it out of reach. Say 83rd minute, City scores the third goal to put it out of reach.
Yeah, I just want us to be competitive tomorrow. Man City have got the ability to absolutely slap us live on telly, but let's just try and be competitive. Phil, your score prediction?
Yeah, let's be optimistic, Shiri. Perhaps not a standard for Wolves fans, but maybe go with 2-2. Perhaps we can get, I think we can get to their back line. I know Rodri's there, but, maybe we can get at them.
Harry, your predictions?
I think it would be similar to the Arsenal game. I think we're putting a really good performance, but I think that'd get us in the end and beat us 2-0.
It will be a... however, Arsenal doing their 12-3 kickoff against Bournemouth could really set the tone for how our game goes against City. If Arsenal... I'm going to call them Barcelona then. If Arsenal absolutely storm our Bournemouth, Man City are going to have their... they're going to be at us from the start. And they've already said they need to win every game this season. I think they need to make the goal difference, Kane. I think tomorrow is a big chance for them to try and catch a bit of goal difference on Arsenal tomorrow. But I'm hoping we can just absolutely stink out a 0-0. And it's just one of them games where Erling Haaland just cannot hit the target for love nor money. Max Kilman has the greatest appearance in a Wolves shirt that he ever has tomorrow, and Gareth Southgate sees that, he makes the England squad, and who knows, he can be in that that Euro 2022. Euro 2022 is nearly 2025. Euro 2024, flipping lineup for England in the summer. He's been hard done by not to get at least one England appearance. We've seen some of the players that have made it, Tyrone Mings, for instance. So, yeah, it's going to be a tough game. Thanks to everyone who's joined us on the Wolves Fancast match preview tonight in association with Audi, Shoot Music, Sports Shop Kings Winford, and the Boston Coffee Company. Me and Harry will be in a charity game again at the end of the month, like I've already mentioned. Check our socials at Wolves Fancast for that. One of the last questions that we had on our review show last week was, obviously, Totti Gomez scored a decent diving header against Luton last weekend. What's some of your favourite headed Wolves goals, Harry?
The one that springs to my mind straight away, I think we lost the game, but it was Jimenez's against Liverpool, the Traore cross in front of the South Bank header. That was brilliant in recent memory. Another one that sticks out, I think it was Steve Ball. Was it his last ever goal, the diving header in front of the North Bank, posting in? I don't know if it's his last ever or 3-0, you know, is one of his last ones. But yeah, they're the two that spring to mind.
Yeah, past former West Bromwich Albion keeper Dean Coyley, if I remember correctly. Remember that? The Steve Ball header from outside the box is still one of my favourite goals in history, never mind a Wolves-headed goal. Yeah. Every player could score a header from outside the box on the bounce. He's just neck muscles. ridiculous. Little Fellaini-headed goal stand out for you?
Yeah, I'm just going to mention that one. I'd probably say Elokobi v United. I think it was that brilliant. One in the corner. And then I've got images of, I think it must be David Kelly sort of scoring some diving headers, but I can't like picture like a game specifically.
We posted that one on our social media, the David Kelly diving header against Leicester in the FA Cup. That's what spurred me after seeing Totti Gomez. His diving header was the David Kelly one, the Dean Richards header against Albion at home, the Ewan Roberts header at Albion Army. There's some really good. Any headed goals stand out for you, Andy, in your brief tenure as a Wolves fan?
Yeah, I don't have a super great like encyclopedic memory of individual goals. I don't remember if it was headed, but one of the goals I've celebrated the most was Connor Cody's equalizer against Chelsea a couple years ago. Did he hit that with his head? I don't remember.
That was a player I was going to bring up a few moments ago, a player that I'm excited to see in the summer return to Wolves, Chiquinho. A player that's got a hell of a lot of pace, always forward thinking. It'd be interesting to see what he can do under Gary O'Neill in the summer. Has done well on loan in Portugal this season. So it'd be interesting to see where we go with that. Danny P in the comment section has picked the header we've all forgot about, guys. It was Daniel Pardins' header against Crystal Palace in the pandemic season, an absolute bullet header. Matt Doherty put on a play for him, and the little guy rose 5'4", and he nestled it away.
Are we sure that Danny P isn't Daniel Podence? Are we 100%?
Daniel Podence is a big fan of the channel. He did DM me on Twitter last night after I called him my prince in Greek on my Twitter. Thanks for everyone who's joined us on the Wolves Fancast. One of our friends of the channel, Rose Asylum, have got a EP out at the moment, so they're go to their website roseasylum.com. We're playing out today's episode with their track Are You Listening Yet. Enjoy your weekend, your bank holiday weekend, and hopefully we'll get a result away at City tomorrow. We'll be back on Sunday to review that match. Good night from me, Harry, Phil and Andy. Take care.